Good morning, Florida Panther fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Panthers. It's a Monday morning, and it's time to talk about your favorite hockey team, the Florida Panthers. We're here to chat about the Cats. Quite a bit to talk about, a couple games over the weekend, a couple games coming up this week. My name is Josh. I'm with PantherParkway.com, and with me as always is my good friend and yours, Frank Rikus.
Happy Monday. Morning, everybody. It's Frank Rikus here from PantherParkway.com. You are listening to Locked On Panthers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day.
Every day. Every day we get together and we chat a little bit about the Florida Panthers. And yeah, we did miss Friday last week. Don't add us, okay? But pretty much every day, Monday through Friday, we try to put together this show. It's for you, the Florida Panthers fan, to be able to jump into your car and put us on your way to work, think about the Panthers a little bit, chat about it, see what our perspective is, and even share your perspective with us through social media or through our Talk Back Thursday segment. So we're grateful to be here. We're grateful to be on another edition and excited to chat a little bit about Panthers hockey. Now, Frank.
Yeah.
Before we really dive in to the last couple of games, let's just kind of backtrack for a minute and talk about what these games this weekend really meant for the Florida Panthers. Going into this weekend, the Florida Panthers were looking to maintain a playoff position. Specifically, they were looking to get a couple of points, put a couple of points in the bank. Towards that playoff aspiration, as they've been challenged by the Toronto Maple Leafs for that third spot in the Atlantic Division or for one of the two wild card spots. But as we speak and record this show, the Florida Panthers are no longer in a playoff spot. And part of that has to do with some of the things we saw this weekend from the Florida Panthers. I was there on Thursday night when the Panthers took on the Vegas Golden Knights. And you were there, Frank, on Saturday night when the Panthers took on the Pittsburgh Penguins. So let's jump right in to some general observations. What were some general observations you made, Frank, watching the Cats this weekend as they ultimately failed in vying for a few points to add to their playoff total?
What does our friend George say?
Well, George has a very definitive statement, and it's this.
The defense sucks.
Yeah, you know, the four-goal third period against Vegas on Thursday night, which I made it home just in time to see that, was pretty demoralizing. I think Bobrovsky gave up the first six goals, so Montembeau came in and gave up the extra point, so 7-2. Not a great game. Definitely not a great game. Vegas is always a tough opponent for the Panthers. They're a tough opponent for a lot of people. I like the way they play. I like the way they're aggressive on the puck. I like the way that they forecheck, use their speed. You know, they've got a good combination of things going for them. It's a game the Panthers should have won, but, you know, they're in a bit of a tailspin, and the tailspin continued on Saturday night. And, you know, granted there were a couple of unlucky bounces, doesn't matter. The Panthers were just – they just came up a little short. And, you know, they did do some good things on Saturday night against Pittsburgh, but they didn't do enough of them. And the pass-first mentality, Josh, it's just got to go. I don't know how we fix this, but that's becoming a problem. Late in the game, and I think I included in my article Sunday morning, you know, Aaron Ekblad had, a golden opportunity with some space to take a slap shot, but he decided to pass. So that's
– yeah.
They got to get that out of their minds, you know?
I mean, this is something we've been talking about for years with the Panthers' offense has been this kind of cute play in the offensive zone, trying to make the perfect pass, look for the perfect shot. What's interesting is how the team has defaulted back to that. And that's what maybe concerns me more than anything else, is we definitely saw some concerted effort to not do that over the games before the All-Star break. And now they've kind of reverted back to maybe what's comfortable for them. I mean, in the Vegas game, it was Bobrovsky had a rough night, but I honestly would not pin any of the goals on Bob until maybe the fifth one. I think the fifth one was kind of soft. But before that, the first four goals were all defense. I mean, they were all Mike Matheson got turnstiled, and I know that he got benched a little bit later on in the game. Keith Yandel had a really bad play. Even Aaron Ekblad had a really bad play that led to a goal. So there's been some serious defensive issues. I mean, we've been talking about it. Like you said, George always says
the defense sucks.
But it's one of those things where it's really starting to become not just a issue for the Panthers from the defensive side of the puck. It's becoming a demoralizing issue for the whole team. Because yes, the team was scoring at the highest rate per game in the league for a while, but you can only lose so much before it doesn't matter anymore. You don't have the energy to go out there and play. You're not going to try and compete as hard when you feel like, what does it matter if I score six goals if they're going to score seven? What does it matter if I go out and play hard if they're going to, you know, behind me, it's not going to be pinched. Now, I will say this. I would say from watching the team on Thursday and Saturday, overall, they've done a better job of not taking every single shot that's available. And I think this definitely spills over from the Tom Rowe area and then the Bob Bugner era of just, hey, any shot is a good shot. Shots on net is the metric we care about. That has definitely cut down. I think that's definitely a result of Joel Quenneville. They have been taking less and less of those wild shots that are just missing the net by a mile. But at the same time, there was several times on Thursday night in the Vegas game where Aaron Ekblad or Mike Matheson were behind the opponent's net. That should not be the case.
No, there you was, can't there have was, your defenseman that low.
No. I mean, there was a couple times. There was one play in particular that I'm thinking about. I think it was Jonathan Huberdeau was skating up hot. He had beat the guy in front of him. And the guy that was streaking down the wing was Keith Yandel. And the forwards were still back in the defensive zone. And I'm going, what the heck is happening here? Like, that's not how this is supposed to work. So there definitely has to be some adjustment with positioning. But it was really interesting watching in the Vegas game how Las Vegas, you know, they're not known for being a team that has a lot of high-end defensemen. You know, they right. they got most of their defensemen in the expansion draft. They haven't done a whole lot of additions on their back end as far as defense goes. So a lot of their guys were guys who didn't, you know, weren't considered a top four or top three defenseman on their previous teams. And what they did really well, even though they're not necessarily high scoring defensemen, they're not necessarily the best puck distributors in the league. What they did really well was every time the Panthers were coming in on Marc-Andre Fleury, they edged the Panther player off to the side and make him take a low percentage shot. That's what they did every single time. When you watch the same thing happen in the Panthers end of the zone, the forwards for the Vegas Golden Knights, they would skate past the Florida Panthers defenseman. And if the defenseman did anything, it was usually plant his feet and wave at it with his stick, trying to poke check the puck. Now, sometimes that does work. I'll give them that. Sometimes you're able to make a great play where you poke check the puck and you shoot it up ice for a one-time breakaway. But, you know, more than half the time, if you miss that first poke check, now you're standing still and the other guy's still going forward and at full speed. And I saw this several times in the Vegas game where guys just got left standing there looking stupid because they made a poke check instead of skating backwards hard and edging off the Golden Knight to the side. And that's the thing. You don't have to be the most talented team in the league at defense. You just have to play it the right way. And the Vegas Golden Knights have figured out how to do that with their limited talent on defense. They just play the right way. And obviously, it's resulted in them being in a Stanley Cup final and being a very, very good team in their first few years.
So do you think, Josh, that this is a result of either the scheme that the Panthers are trying to implement, and after, 55 games, they still haven't learned it? You think it's a talent issue? Do you think it's a mental issue where, you know, guys just can't think fast enough of what they're supposed to do at a given time? I mean, I'm trying to put my finger on it myself, and I just don't understand. And I watch how other teams play defense, and, you know, you're pointing out how Vegas played. I mean, it's I don't want to say a total opposite, but it's pretty close to a total opposite style to the way the Panthers are playing right now. And even with Mackenzie Weegar back in the lineup on Saturday night against Pittsburgh, you know, Quenneville went to the line blender and, you know, mixed up the defense. And now you've got Yandle and Ekblad back together, Strawman and Stillman, which has been a pretty decent pair. And then you got Weegar and Matheson. I don't know if it's in the system that Mike Kitchen, who runs the defense, has tried to get these guys to learn, or if it's a skill issue, or what the problem is. But you know, you can score during the regular season and win 7-6, 6-5. You know, that's 6-2. You're gonna have a few of those lopsided games. But once you get to the playoffs, you need defense, and not only do you need defense, you need some tough defense. And I'm not looking for everybody to smash everyone in sight on every single play, but there needs to be some physicality. And against the Pittsburgh game, specifically the Crosby goal, I mean, he found a small little seam. How can you forget where he is and lose track of him on the ice and when he scored the third goal, which ultimately stood up for the winner? I'm dumbfounded.
Yeah, I mean, you asked me a question there. I don't think it's a scheme issue. I think it's an old habits issue. Mm-hmm. These were the things that were encouraged by former coaches. You know, these one-time, you know, home run Hail Mary passes, these, you know, crazy poke checks, the spinoramas, you know, all that stuff. I think it was encouraged by previous regimes. And so I don't know that it's necessarily an inability to adapt. I think it's just falling back to old habits and default decision-making. Unfortunately, it's going to be a real problem because the Panthers may make the playoffs this year. Now, it's not a guarantee. They may make the playoffs this year, but they're going to get smoked in the first round if they try to play defense like that in the playoffs. They're just going to get absolutely crushed. It's going to be a four-game sweep. And you look at this, and I think this is a very good point here, Frank, if I do say so myself. Look at how Elvis Merlikins has played in Columbus this year.
Yeah.
He's just been unbelievable. Is Elvis Merlikins the same level of goaltender quality as Sergei Bobrovsky? No.
No.
Why is he playing so well? Because he has great defense in front of him. Exactly. And, yeah. And so because he has great defense in front of him, he's able to be successful. Sergei Bobrovsky was a Vezina-caliber goaltender when he had good defense in front of him. Now, he's looking terrible because the defense is not helping him at all. You know, I don't think it was fair on Thursday night during the Vegas game when the fans started giving Bobrovsky the Bronx cheer. Every time he touched the puck, they would start going crazy in the stands as kind of a sarcastic response to what they perceived as poor play on the part of Bobrovsky. And again, I'd say the fifth goal was definitely all him. But up until that point, the defense has failed Sergei Bobrovsky, and they're making him look really bad. And it's really a sad thing. So they've got to figure it out. At this point, 50-something games into the season, I think it's time for Panthers management to step back and go, okay, these guys are not going to get it. So now we've got to figure out new personnel who can come in, who can figure out a new system here, or can figure out a new way to play with the guys that we want to keep, because it's not working.
Yeah, and I think in order to make this happen, the Panthers are going to act. They're going to have to give up something that they don't want to give up, that they're either been hanging on to, or in addition to that, looking forward to. So what does that mean? That means a key player currently on the roster needs to be traded, and a prospect needs to be traded in order to get the kind of player that they need on defense. You know, getting someone's third defenseman, you know, or third pair defenseman, that's not going to help us. You know, we need someone that's at least a top four defenseman that is focused on defense to be on this team. And trading is difficult. Let me tell you, it is not easy. It's very simple for us to think, oh, come on, Dale, just make a trade. It does not work that way. You've got to find the right partner. You got to put together the right package. But it has to happen, and it has to happen soon, because the season is going to slip away if things don't improve. I mean, we're 1-3-1 in our last five games since the All-Star break, and that is no way to follow up a six-game losing streak or winning streak, because now it's like all for naught.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You lose out on the points. The big news, of course, on Saturday night was the return of maybe the Panthers' best defenseman, Alexander Barkov. coming back to play for the team. And you could tell that he definitely adds a little bit of a calming, steadying influence to the team, particularly with that top line when they're out there. I mean, when the Barkov-Datanov Huberdeau line is on the ice, they can't be stopped. They're one of the best lines in hockey. Getting the opportunity to put Vinny back on his line and move things around definitely made the Panthers look a little bit better. But of course, ultimately unsuccessful against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Again, I would say a lot of that due to defensive issues, and that run and gun style of hockey. Again, it's fun in the regular season, not going to work in the playoffs. And so the Panthers are going to have to figure something out. So here comes the question, Frank. You ready?
Yep.
If the Panthers don't make a move before the trade deadline to seriously address the defensive issues, then what's going to be the consequence of that?
They're probably not going to make the playoffs. I mean, I have believed in my heart and soul and my mind that from the beginning of the season that, despite the fact that we needed some defensive help, I thought that we'd be able to overcome that because we had Bobrovsky in goal and we've made some additions at forward and we had, the best active NHL head coach around. But it's more than that, now it's become a talent issue on the back end. And if they can't make an addition, I really have some concern about making the playoffs because right now we're starting to slip away.
Especially with Toronto starting to heat up
Yep.
and get back into it the way that everybody kind of expected them to be at the beginning of the season. Honestly, where the Panthers are right now is where most people projected them to be at this time of year. Toronto's starting to kind of heat back up. The Panthers are just fighting for that last wild card spot at this point. That's kind of what everybody was saying at the beginning of the season. And the Panthers have shown flashes of brilliance. I mean, I don't think that can be denied, but unfortunately, they've showed some flashes of inability to contend with teams that play a more fast game up the middle. The defense just can't handle it. And so teams are starting to figure it out. Coaches are not dumb. They get paid a lot of money to look at teams like Florida and figure out how to beat them. And it seemed very clear to me that Pete DeBoer had Florida's number on Thursday night. It seemed like the Pittsburgh Penguins had a good read on how to beat our defense. Even when it comes to the power play entry scheme that you and I love so much, it seemed like Vegas knew exactly what was going to happen, and they were jumping right up and reading the entry at the blue line every single time.
So
So yeah, it's
let
an
me
issue.
ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Didn't we, you and me, and most everybody else, feel that this Panthers team was the most talented team that they've had since inception 26 years ago? Isn't that how we kind of felt?
Yeah.
Yet we're still falling short. So did we overrate these players?
I
Are
don't
they
think I'm.
not as good as advertised, or collectively? I mean, something's wrong.
I don't think that we overrated them. I think the forward group is the most talented forward group the Panthers have ever had. As far as the depth that they have across all four lines, the way that they're playing the game, the forwards have not been the issue.
So then, when we said months ago that this is the most skilled team the Panthers have had, there should have been an asterisk there that said, forwards only.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, overall, I mean, I guess it depends on how you rank talent.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, I think that's the best forward group they've ever had. I think it's probably the best, or at least the most highly touted goaltender they've had. I don't know if I could say the best, but it's definitely the most accomplished
Yeah.
goaltender they've ever had.
Yeah.
But the defense is a problem. I mean, the defense, other than Aaron Ekblad, who I give all the credit in the world to Aaron Ekblad, he's had a very good season.
He's had an excellent season.
He's definitely bounced back and become the player that I think a lot of people thought he was going to become. But
Right.
other than Aaron Ekblad, I mean, there is no one on the defense other than Mark Pesic who has shown any signs of life, really. I mean, I know it's not fair to say that about Mackenzie Weegar. He's been out for a bit, but Keith Yandle has really struggled defensively. Mike Matheson clearly struggling defensively, even being called out by Dale Tallon recently as he spoke to the media. Josh Brown has been there, You know, like it's just, you know, Anton Strowman, I give him a little bit of credit. He's definitely, I would say Strowman's probably the most solid defensive defenseman that we have.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he can't do everything, and he keeps getting paired with guys who leave him hung out to dry. So,
well,
you know,
and he's also typically being paired with inexperience.
Yeah.
You know, so not only is he forced or faced with the fact that he's got to be the best defensive defenseman, but he's also got to, you know, protect the carcass of some young player who's still in their infancy.
Yeah, I mean, Riley Stillman has, you know, he's shown flashes of the fact that he's going to be a defenseman in the NHL, like, for a long time, I think. But he's not, again, he's not a superstar. He's not, you know, a guy who could be counted upon to shut down every single opponent. And that's what we've talked about a lot in this podcast, Frank, is, you know, you need those guys who know where to stand. You need those guys who know, have the experience, and they're able to turn guys off to the side and give low percentage shots, clear the crease, don't let anybody get near the net. You know, all those things that the Panthers have struggled to do.
Right. No, that's, I mean, it seems like we talk about this every podcast, and listeners and readers, we're not going to apologize for it, but if we're talking about it this much, then it must be a significant problem that has to be addressed. And again, trading's not easy, but geez, we got to do something.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, let's talk a little bit about the game tonight. The Florida Panthers going to play against the Philadelphia Flyers. And then, of course, tomorrow night they have a back-to-back against the New Jersey Devils. Philadelphia is one of those teams that's been maddeningly inconsistent alongside the Panthers. However, they have a lot of good players, a lot of good pieces, and the Panthers are going to be looking to desperately add a couple of points to their point totals here as they try to claw their way back up. Of course, the Flyers are actually a couple of points ahead of the Panthers in the wild card race with 67 points going into tonight's game. Florida Panthers have 64 points. And so looking at that and the way things are shaking out, if it comes down to the second wild card spot being the only opportunity for the Panthers to qualify for Lord Stanley Cup's playoffs, unfortunately, the Flyers are going to be one of those teams they're going to be vying for that position with. So, Frank, what should the Panther fans be looking for in tonight's matchup against the Philadelphia Flyers?
Well, for starters, they have a pretty solid record at home, 18-5-4. That's nothing to be ashamed about, for sure. They have allowed the least amount of shots on goal on average in the NHL, 28.6, which actually sounds like a lot. But when you look at the Panthers have given up on average 32, which is good enough for 24th. So it's amazing, six-shot difference, but that can make a complete difference in the game. Looks like Brian Elliott is expected to be the starter. He's been playing the bulk of the games lately. Looks like Carter Hart, their not rookie, but I guess sophomore sensation, he's out with an abdominal injury. As far as who to watch out for, well, Sean Couturier, 15 goals, 34 assists is their leading scorer with 49 points. Travis Konecny, I think that's right. He's got one of those weird last names. 18 and 28 for 46 points. Jacob Voracek, always a tough guy to play against. 11 and 31. And then Captain Claude Giroux, 14 goals, 24 assists, 38 points. And then, of course, one of the Hayes brothers, Kevin Hayes, is on the Flyers. 17 goals, 15 assists. Supposedly, he was a big free agent signing. There was a lot of things expected of him. And he's right about where he normally is, middle of the road, with a fancy minus 11, if you like, plus and minus. I think it's going to be a tough game. You know, Flyers, no matter who is on this roster, their long-standing pedigree of, you know, playing tough, playing hard-nosed hockey is you know, going to be there. And this will not be a walk in the park for the Panthers. It's the first of a back-to-back. It looks like Bobrovsky is expected to be in goal, as you would think, because the next game is against New Jersey. Montembeault will probably get that one. But this is a must-win. You know, it's this is like, you know, the playoffs have basically started now for the Panthers, and it's only February, but that's how close the race is. That's how tight things are, where they cannot afford to be falling behind and losing points. So this one, they need to get off to a really good start, and they've got to maintain their game for the entire 60 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like you said, the playoffs are now, and it's time for the Panthers to step up. Of course, not only do they play tonight against the Flyers, but they also play back at the BB&T Center on Thursday night against the Philadelphia Flyers. So two times we're going to see that team this week. Hopefully we can take away some points in that wild card race. All right, well, you can connect with us at PantherParkway.com. We have some great articles. You want to go in there and check out what we got going on, and we'd love for you to visit the website as well as follow along on Twitter at Panther Parkway. You can also follow Frank at Frank Rikus and me at Josh_LO Panthers. Also, don't forget that we have Talk Back Thursday coming up this week. You can call and leave a voicemail at 954-228-0630. Again, that's 954-228-0630. We'd love to hear your feedback. We'll talk about it on Thursday. Make sure you get those voicemails in there and make them good. And also, you can check out our email address and send us an email at LockedOnPanthersPodcast@gmail.com. For this edition of Locked On Panthers, I'm Josh.
I'm Frank.
Thank you for listening.